Philippians chapter 2, it's going to start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, be with us this morning. As we are here, we want a word from you. We would ask that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, enliven us. Lord, many, many times we come here this morning to worship, and we have all kinds of things have pressed us down, and we're just beaten up. So make this an hour of time, of revitalization, of reinvigoration, that the Spirit of God might work in our lives. Lord, we have those on our hearts that we would pray for this morning in a very special way. We want to continue to pray for Todd. Lord, you know that I just praise you that there's some progress being made there. But Lord, I want to also remember Gary Zello. Lord, as he is facing once again that cancer in the mouth area region, they don't know what's happening there, as best I can understand. But Lord, when we're faced with that word, and he's already had this, and was a terrible, terrible fight to get to where he's at today. So be with him and his family, his young family. Lord, be with us. We have many, many needs. But you work this morning, and we'll give you the glory. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, last Sunday we saw that there's an amazing side of God's person and his grace, and it's constant. It's his person. When you think of the Lord, God Almighty, that's who this is. He does not change. You know, sometimes you bump into me and I'm cheerful and upbeat, and sometimes you bump into me and I'm just... God is never like that. He is always constant. He's not like a weather vane. And his mercy and grace overflows to us. And we saw that. We looked at that 2 Corinthians passage, verses 8 and 9, where Paul says we are troubled. And I wanted to just kind of give you another synonym for troubled, because sometimes I think we read the scripture, and we've read that one before, and we've read that one before, and we've read that one before, and we lose somehow or another to get what it's saying. We become so familiar with it that we don't see what it's saying. And that's a bad thing. So we are troubled, but we are hard pressed. Got it? On every side, Paul says. And that's the Paul, the greatest missionary the world's ever seen. Greatest church planter the world ever seen. And Paul said, that's me. I'm hard pressed on every side. Yet, not in distress. I'm not crushed. Listen, we can be hard pressed, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody can crush us. We just need to cling to that wonderful faith that we placed in Jesus, for some of us so many, many years ago. That ought to be as fresh on our mind today as it was 20 years ago, or 30, or 5, or whenever it was. We are not crushed. We are perplexed. Paul said, oh, there's many, many times that I don't know what's going on. And Lord, I think to myself, can you give me a clue here? I don't really, like this, or I don't need it, I don't think, or whatever. So we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Okay, Lord, I don't understand. And this is a hard thing. It's not something I want to come in my life. But we don't have to despair. We don't have to be driven to despair. Sometimes people get so in such a dark place that they almost become despondent. We don't have to be that. We're persecuted, Paul says, but we're not forsaken. God never leaves us alone. Promises to be with us always and forever. we're cast down or we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And so just think about those things that Paul just mentions there in those four little things. Magnificent is his grace to us. He sustains us through life. Life sometimes is difficult. Sometimes it smacks you in the face. Sometimes it wants to just roll over and eat you up like, you know, a mulching machine. But God's still in control, and you're his child, and he won't allow that to happen. I love Isaiah chapter 40. It's one of my favorite verses. Isaiah says, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You have to wait upon the Lord. He's got time in his program, and he's got something he's doing, which we may not understand. But we have to trust him in that. But, and Isaiah said, listen, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I've always thought, aren't eagles majestic, beautiful birds? Powerful. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. That's a great promise. Over in Deuteronomy, you think about, there are some books in the scriptures that we go to, don't we? Isaiah. I like to go to John or whatever. We have our favorites. But you know what? It's everywhere in the scripture, the character of God. In Deuteronomy, of all places. You know, when I was in seminary, I had to take Greek and I had to take Hebrew. I can barely speak English, and I certainly can't conjugate sentences in English. You know, you have a subject and an object and a verb and all those kind of things. Remember that when you were, I don't know what grade. I must have missed it. And so I did my Greek, and the guy that told me that did our Greek was a visiting professor from Australia. He said, you'll always speak a Koine Greek with an Australian accent. Well, I don't know about that, but I thought, boy, this is difficult. This is really tough. And he actually was benevolent towards us. At the end of the year, he gave us, there were going to be three passages that you had to translate. One was the Beatitudes in Matthew. One was the Gospel of John, the first 5-6 verses of that. And one was in Ephesians 5. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. And so I thought, well, you're not supposed to put all the eggs in one basket, but I went ahead and looked at John, and I memorized John. Guess what was on the test? John. Yeah, so I passed that. So I knew how hard it was to do, and so I said something to somebody, and my advisor, he said, well, you know, you have to take Hebrew, you can't get out of that, you're going to have to take that. He said, you can take more if you want to, but you got to take at least one. I said, well, let's try to get past one, you know. And he said, well, you know, I don't know what. He said, but I'll tell you what, do Deuteronomy. And I thought, of all the books in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy? And he said, you want to do Deuteronomy because it has a lot of repetition over and over and over again. And he said, if you don't learn the technical side, maybe you'll learn it by rote. And so Dr. Williams was our professor in that. There were six guys in there in Deuteronomy. I noticed that Dr. Williams was a very strange guy. He had leisure suits on every day. I don't know if he had a leisure suit for every day of the week, but I think he did. And his leisure suit, he had cowboy boots on that matched the leisure suit. And I've been in there a couple weeks or something like that, and I got to thinking, man, how many leisure suits does this guy have? That's remarkable. But how many pairs of boots this guy got? You know? So I said something to the guy next to me, and he says, don't you know who that guy is? I said, well, Hebrew professor, archaeologist, and you know, that's what he likes to do, mess around in digging around. He said, no, he said, he's the heir to the Williams Electric Shave family. He's got more money than all of us combined in the whole school together. He can buy as many pair of boots as he wants. Oh, okay. But Deuteronomy, repetition. Here's a verse in Deuteronomy that you know. You know this verse. You say, well, I know the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy. Okay, yeah, you know, but you know this verse because it's a great verse. Deuteronomy 33, 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are what? The everlasting arms. There it is in Deuteronomy. That's, and there's more than that verse, but we know that verse. Why does it pop out to us? Because it pops out to us because we need that kind of encouragement. Over in Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. These are the patterns of the character and nature of God. Having a problem, run to the Lord. Having a problem, realize He's right there underneath you always. You're never going to fall to the ground. You're never going to be crushed. So this morning I want to continue with that theme a little bit. And I want to talk about names. You know, each of us possess a name, don't we? In fact, it's a truism. All over the world, every human being on the face of the earth has a name. Did you know that? Somebody gave them a name. Isn't it interesting? Back there in the garden, Adam was asked by the Lord, name these things. And we've been doing it ever since. Everybody has a name. Now, sometimes it's a name that, you think, oh, I don't care for that name. You know, mom gave me a name. You know, I'm a boy named Sue or something like that. I don't like that. But nevertheless, we have a name. And it's a name that was given to us most of the time by our parents. Sometimes the parents buy these little books that have children's babies' names in it or something like that, and they go through there. Perhaps we have a name that's from a relative. Elsie has a name from a relative. Or we're just given a name that our parents like. They like the sound of it. Grayson was asking my wife the other day, Michael Todd. Papa's name is Michael. My middle name is Michael. Why did you give Todd Papa's name? And she said something about wanting to honor me or something like that. Well, that's the way it goes, isn't it? Sometimes we do that. Grandpa or some aunt or whatever. But however you got your name, there is probably some significance to it behind that name. My name, Michael, of course, means who is like God. That's not a question mark. It's an exclamation point. My one son's name is Matthew. Is a gift of God. Andrew is man of war. Grayson means son of steward, service. In Philippians, Paul tells us in verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Interesting enough, names in the scripture are significant. They mean something. Interesting enough, in the New Testament, Jesus has many titles. He's called the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. He's called the Ancient of Days. He's called the Bright and Morning Star, Desire of Nations, Emmanuel, God with us, Rock of Ages, Rose of Sharon, Savior, Prince of Peace, Truth, Servant. The second person of the Trinity is Servant, a title. The Messiah, the Way, the Great I Am, the Word, become flesh. All those titles. But you know, I believe that his name is the sweetest name that anyone's ever heard. It's majestic. It's to the point. It's powerful. That name, Jesus. You know, in many Latin American cultures, Jesus is a very common name, isn't it? Jesus. I was sitting around and I asked Todd or somebody, who did I ask? Matt. I said, well, how do you spell Jesus or how do you do that? And he says, J-E-S-U-S. I said, what? He says, it means Jesus. Well, I knew that, He said, you better phonetically spell it or you'll really get mixed up. It's very common, isn't it? Very common. Well, listen, Jesus was not an uncommon name in the first century. It was a name that many men, many boys had. In the year 2000, a French scholar found a stone. Actually, it was an ossuary, which is a little box. The Jewish people would put somebody in the tomb. They would leave them for years and years and years, a protracted period of time. They would come back, and they would pick up the bones, and they would put them in this little box. Then somebody else could be born, could be buried in that tomb again. And they would stack these boxes up, and mostly by families. And they found a box that said this: James, son of Joseph, which is not uncommon at all. But what was really uncommon was it said, brother of Jesus. Now, had you heard that? I bet you hadn't heard that. But I bet you heard that they found an ossuary that had Jesus' name on it. Yeah. And so they were just blasting that all around the world. We found the ossuary with the bones of Jesus in it. And they were just so thrilled with that. Matter of fact, go ahead and look it up online if you'd want. And what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? It's a very common name. I can guarantee you 100% it's not Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Matter of fact, as they have a want to do, they actually found at the very same time in that cache of boxes four other boxes that had Jesus on it. Did they tell you that? No, they acted like, we found the ossuary with Jesus' bones in it. He's not risen. He's not the Savior. He's not in those things. He's dead. He's in the grave. They picked up his bones. They put them in the box. And here we found it. That's what they want you to believe. Friends, that's a lie. Look it up. You can find it on the net. The cave name, it sounds like something off the Disney program. It's Ali Baba Cave that they found these ossuaries in. Multitudes of them. Well, listen. While the name of Jesus is and was in common in the first century, still his name, Jesus' name, was chosen for him by God the Father Almighty for the Son. Was that name given to him in his earthly ministry. Therefore, a common name became a name above every name. A special name. Matthew tells us that the Lord God Almighty appeared to Joseph in a dream and told Joseph what? Joseph, thou son of David. You know, that's an interesting little piece of information. That tells us that Joseph was of the royal house of David. Matter of fact, Mary was too, for that matter. But he says there that he was the son of David. That's King David. Oh, there was a promise made back there to David, wasn't there? That there was going to be a branch, that there was going to come forth from his biological ancestry a king who would rule forever. The Lord told Joseph, fear not to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God named Jesus, his name, gave his name. In verse 21, it says this, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That name points back to the Father. Jesus, of course, literally means Jehovah, Yahweh saves, or Yahweh's salvation. So So that little song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saved, that's exactly it. Double it. While God is a God of judgment, He's also a God of mercy and love. That's consistent with who He is. Over in 1 John 4, it tells us that God is love. It's not found floating around out there in the air someplace. It's not found when some guy sees some girl on the beach and goes, ah. No, God is love. The message of the name of Jesus is that God is love. God's not in the business of damnation. He's in the business of salvation. It's not God's desire that any should perish. Peter tells us God is long-suffering towards us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So don't think you're going to stand before God Almighty and say, Lord, you didn't do me fair. You shortchanged me. I didn't have the same breaks as those folks over there. I had a rough life. I had this. You're not going to be able to do that because God is long-suffering towards everybody. Not willing that any should perish. We all deserve. You reap what you sow. We all deserve what we sow, which would be eternal separation from God. But God is not in the business of damnation. He's in the business of salvation. In fact, hell is not even made for man at all. Lost man. Jesus says over in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for what? The devil and his angels. There was a place that God prepared for that rebellious mob that Satan led out of heaven. And yes, if you so desire to reject the mercy and grace of God, there's only one other place you can go. And that's there. But don't think that that was the purpose of God. The purpose of God is to bring you into right relationship with Him. And that name, Jesus, is especially given by the Father. It is telling the whole creation, the whole universe, that God's goal is redemption. God's goal is salvation. God's will is, that's what He wants, for everyone to come in repentance to Christ. This is a special name. In Philippians 2:10, it says, a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, what, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a special name. It's also a stainless name. The Bible says when this name is spoken, this name is to be revered through praise and worship. When people carelessly, thoughtlessly evoke the name of Jesus in some sort of profanity or lesser than worship, that's not what God wants. They don't understand. And that the Bible says that every knee is going to bow. That's a sign of humility, isn't it? Have you ever watched these old movies where some great king is on the throne someplace and they have this huge, beautiful palace and hall and all that kind of thing. And somebody comes in and he's shown in. The very first thing he does is what? Go towards that throne and get down on his knees and face before the king. It shows humility. The Bible says everybody's going to do that. Everybody's going to do that. In heaven, in earth, in hell. It's a special name. It's a stainless name. It's also a saving name. Salvation is in no other. Acts chapter 3 tells us this very interesting thing. It tells us about Peter and John after the resurrection going up to the temple to pray, which was their normal thing. It's an amazing thing. When we read about Jesus going to the temple, it says, as his custom was. Charlotte and I came to the church together this morning, and we were chit-chatting and laughing about things and things like that. But she said, you know, it's my custom to go to Sunday school and church. I wouldn't feel right if I didn't go. Marvelous. I said, that's a great custom. Somebody put some good stuff into you long years ago. There are people out here all around us. That's not their custom. Their custom is to do anything else but that. They get up on Sunday morning. They don't think about going to church or Bible study or anything like that. They think about, oh my goodness, I was going to go golfing today, but it's raining. What else can I do? I guess I can watch the basketball game. Is the NBA thing over? Oh well. Or watch the, not the Kentucky Derby, is it Preakness or something? Whatever it was. Anyway, that horse won. Yeah, 13, number 13, Triple Crown winner. That's what they get up thinking about. They don't get up thinking about the things of God. It's not their custom. It's not their habit. Peter and John went up to the temple because that was who they were. That was who they were. That was part of their life, was to go and worship the Lord God Almighty. And they came to the temple and there was a lame man standing there, or sitting there, and he was begging alms. And Peter said, look at us. Now, I always think that's interesting. Isn't it interesting, the words that are there? Look at us. Then he said, what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. Now, what does he say now? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up. He took his hand, made him stand up. He could have just said, in the name of Jesus, stand up. But I think Peter's preaching all the time. John's preaching all the time. In the name of Jesus, lots of Jesuses out there. No, not those guys. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the one you crucified. Remember, if you go back in the book of Acts and you begin to read the apostolic preaching there, you'll find out all over the place that when those apostles, Philip and the deacons, as they were preaching, they had the opportunity. You know what they always included? You crucified him. They always mention the cross, and then they all say something else. But God raised him from the dead. And then they go on. That's who we are. He died for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day as complete justification for our faith in him. And so Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up. Isn't that amazing? There's something special about that name. It's stainless. There's no sin there. And there's power there. Over in John 14:3, Jesus said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he actually repeats that again in verse 14. Now, many, many people, when they read that passage, and particularly that passage, and I think there's one other passage like that, they don't want to go back and read the verses before. I was just talking about to Ron a little bit of that this morning, in the sense that when we pray, I believe with all my heart, God always answers your prayer. He always hears. He's never on vacation. He's never indisposed. He always hears. No matter where you're at, you pray, God hears. And God will answer. But you know, there are not just two responses from God. There are three. Did you know that? There's yes. Boy, we like that one. Oh Lord, blah, blah, blah. Yes. All right. I'm good with that. I'm praising you. I'm jumping. I'm rolling. I'm doing all. One of them is no. Oh, we don't like that one. Well, Lord, why did you make me waste my time and pray to you if you're going to say no? Well, he's got something he's going to teach you there, but nevertheless, yes and no. But you know, there's actually a third option. We actually sang about it in the song this morning. God may say, wait a little while. I've got something for you. Oh, Bill says four. What's the fourth one, Bill? You got to be kidding. All right, I'll buy that too. But God answers prayers. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is what? No other name under heaven among men whereby you, what? Must be saved. You know, it's a strange, it's everywhere. The goodness of God, the patience of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, it's just all over. This book contains it, page after page, line after line, it's there. Somehow or another we miss it. But we also miss, you know, when we say something like this, Lord God Almighty, I agree with you. I have sinned. I want you to forgive my sin. I want you to come into my life and clean me up. I want you to seal me with the Holy Spirit until the full day of redemption. I want you, Lord, to give me the strength, the energy, the wherewithal to serve you with all my heart for the rest of my days. Now you say, I never heard a prayer like that. Well, to me, that's the sinner's prayer. Something like that. Doesn't have to be exactly that. What I'm getting at, what I want you to see is, when you pray that prayer, at the end of that prayer, what do you say? In Jesus' name. God answers prayers in Jesus' name. God works in Jesus' name. You know, those are our Pentecostal friends who hop and run and do all kinds of stuff, get all fired up about whatever it is. You know, they're really right. When they say, in the name of Jesus, they're right. That's the way to do it. Pray in the name of Jesus. Be believing in the name of Jesus. Place your faith in the name of, that's all you have to do. If you know that name, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask you to help me. God will help you. He will answer that prayer because it's prayed in the highest name in heaven, the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to realize that in the name of Jesus. When you pray and ask your sins to be forgiven, God forgave you in the name of Jesus. When you ask the Lord God to seal you unto the day of full redemption, in the name of Jesus, He'll do that. When you ask the Lord, Lord, help me, my heart, to be true to you, be faithful to you all the days of my life, He'll do it because you ask in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, but you are justified. We talked about those words many, many times. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross for you is transferred to you because you ask in His name for that privilege. You ask in His name for that forgiveness. You ask for the pardon for sin in His name. It'll be given to you because it's in Jesus' name. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. You say, well, I don't know. I like Carl Sagan or something like that. He's a very smart guy. And tells me all kind of stuff and a marvelous thing. I don't know. I have strong belief that that's not going to do you any good because it's not the name of Jesus. Stephen Hawking, supposed to be one of the smartest guys in all the world. You know, he vacillated back and forth. Did you know that? We hear of the latter part of his life that, you know, he was an agnostic. He didn't really know if God existed or not and all those kind of things. But at one particular time, he had made a profession of faith in Christ. Did you know that? And through his lifetime, every now and then he would say something like, you know, I really don't know if this is true or not. The reporters and stuff run out with what he said as being true. Well, listen, I don't know if some of the things he said and some of the understandings of the universe he talked about are right or wrong. I don't know about that one bit, but I do know this. That name won't get you in heaven. Won't do it. Oh, and about a third of the world is trusting in a prophet named Muhammad and a God called Allah. It's not the name of Jesus. It's not the name of Jesus. That's the only way. Raise high that name of Jesus in your thoughts and in your heart and in your spirit. Because in that, God has given all that there is in the universe is yours. Father, thank you. The simplicity of the gospel. The straightforwardness. Just as we have on the pulpit up here, this little sign to remind me and anybody who stands here, sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Father, help us this morning as we depart from this place. We're going out into a world that doesn't know Jesus, knows of Him, and most of the things that they know of Him are lies, their misconceptions, their false truths. We're your royal ambassadors to take the truth to the world about Jesus. Help us to do so. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who's struggling with mighty things in their life. Remind them that at one time and one place, they got down on their knees and they called upon the name of Jesus. And you answered, and you shall again if we call. Blessed is that name. Beautiful. Is that name. Magnificent is that name. Sweeter is that name than any name. And we pray this prayer, this petition we lay before the throne of grace in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.